Good morning. I hope that all of you are not distracted by my strange voice, but I was in San Francisco a couple of days ago, and I am sensitive to the toxic environment there, and so I apologize. So please don't get distracted from the way in which I sound. I also would like to acknowledge the fact that I have an academic appointment at the University of California in Riverside. That academic appointment is to conduct research 100%. And then I also would like for you to know that the African American Health Institute is an institute that was founded on the premises of community-based participatory research, where the black community decided that they wanted to have a focused approach and have a dedicated entity that was outside of the university and outside of the institutions that would focus on their particular needs to work with them and to come together to do those things that they want to do. We have been in operation for probably about 10 years now. And I'd like to acknowledge two of my colleagues. Dr. Denise Hines, just wave your hand. Dr. Hines has a specialty in preventive care and has also decided to work within the community, but she's also looking for other things on the side for those who are in. And but that's a major commitment, and we appreciate that. Thank you, Dr. Hines. Then we have Nicole Smith, who is a graduate from Charles Drew University and is moving forward to be admitted into a doctoral program so that she, too, can continue to develop her skills. That's a major commitment. I try to foster mentoring and work with students in the community and to work with any institution who really, truly wants to work with the community based on the community's philosophies and to provide that opportunity for this to happen. We would like to encourage you to visit our website so that one could see some of the activities that we're involved in. This particular presentation is based on a project that we are funded to actually engage the black population to help define community evidence that's important and meaningful to them in order to have good mental health. I have used an ecological approach in everything that I have done and have specifically applied that to individual health with black men and prostate cancer. I am published in that particular area. And I also, every year, try to present this particular research at APHA and other places. We have also used that particular approach with prematurity in developing a prematurity toolkit. And we have also worked with different other projects that the black community wanted to work on. And what's significant about that is the key. It's what the community wants to work on, which may or may not necessarily be valued by funders or others within the community. With this particular project, of course, we see the coming together of two worlds, two continents, Africa and also American blacks. You see the disclaimer that I say I use the term blacks and African Americans because those terms are the ones that, as you know, are still presented in the scientific literature, and it's the way in which people refer to themselves, irrespective of nationality. So the purpose of this presentation is to understand the relevance of the diversity of theoretical perspectives when analyzing data. And the objective is to look at a framework that truly will give more meaning to what our people are saying. The California Reducing Disparities Project is a project that is funded by the Department of Mental Health of the State of California. And we will also be doing a poster presentation at 12:30 today. Please come by the poster presentation and you can get additional background information on this particular project. But what I'm presenting today is preliminary findings. For the last 2 years, we've been working with the population to get their perspective of the issues. And the way in which I frame the project is to actually have about 50 or 52 strategic planning work group members that also included advisors and consultants to divide the project into regions so that we cover the entire state, to have regional consultants in the states, because those regional consultants would actually know their community, and they were community-based regional consultants, and would engage those particular individuals and point us in the right direction as to where we needed to go. The state of California is using this particular approach to get to triangulate their perspective related to how to better redesign the mental health system for the state of California so that it is responsive to its ethnic, racial, and cultural groups. So five different groups were funded: Native Americans, Asian Pacific Islanders, Latinos, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgenders, and the African American population. All of us sent forth proposals, but we all designed our projects differently. I am the only one that is using a community engagement process, and I also used a mixed method approach. So what is community-defined evidence? We are familiar with the thought that these are practices that our people value and put forth, but they are not necessarily tested empirically, but are meaningful to the population and over time have been able to surface, maintain, and somewhat be sustained in the communities. Thank you. So in looking at our project and using the emerging process, we actually have ended up with 10 data sources. And with our qualitative data, we started with key informants. We wanted to have focus groups first and then small group discussions, but these were convenient samples when there were meetings that we knew about it, and then we like a day before were told about a major meeting that was taking place for consumers. So we wanted to make sure that we went to this meeting because this was a national meeting and we knew we would have a large opportunity for data at that meeting. In-depth interviews. The intent was to truly drill down, use what we know about Black people that we like to tell stories. And we want to be heard, but we have to take time to hear what people have to say. So in-depth interviews. And then from the in-depth interviews, there were case studies that surfaced. So with the case studies, we were able to feature in our region specific activities and practices for each geographical area and ways in which people were trying to work on the mental health issue. Then we have just finished, as of this week, public forums, where I just rolled in here from a public forum, where we have gone out, and I originally proposed validation focus groups. But as we continued to move forward, it was evident that I needed to open that up and use a public meeting as a validation. And one would talk about contamination. So, okay, how can you can't control for a statewide project that everybody's interested in and everybody knows about it. So what I tried to do was, in the public forums, I let people know that we only had three things on the agenda: to talk about the content, to talk about the practices and the recommendations, and to hold people to that particular focus. And it was about their opinions, ideas, and thoughts related to that issue, so that irrespective of where we were in the state, we now can we have the data and we can see exactly whether or not we have captured, through all of the other methods, that information that was important to people. And then on quantitative sources, we use multiple ways of using surveys to obtain information from individuals. One that is very important is the consumer client family member survey. And that particular survey, we were able to ask people to respond to three critical questions, which were, what were those issues that were important to them? How would they, and what would they recommend to the governor related to how money should be spent for redesigning the system? And then let us know what really could have been in place in order to prevent mental issues related to yourself or your family member or the one in whom you were involved with. In our particular project, we basically wanted to identify what is what is mental illness, what is mental health, and what do Black people say that they need in order to have good health, and what resources were in the community in order to help people to not come down with mental issues. Now, given the fact that the state had already gone through and had special stakeholders meetings, and people had been engaged to share this information, but people continue to say, we don't know what's going on, we keep talking, but it seems like they're not hearing us, or maybe they just don't understand. Of course, we know that W. Du Bois documented disparities over 100 years ago. Not only Du Bois, but we have a lot of documentation. This presentation is not on the disparity data. And even in his documentation, he identified that there were issues within the black population that dealt with diseases of the nervous system, and also a disparity between whites dying from, in this case, suicide, for which we know with the black population that the suicide rate has tremendously gone up. So that's a little flip from the way it was when he actually talked about that. So then let's look, and today I just want to just briefly talk about our focus group. When we look at our focus group, two slides on demographics. Basically, we have 53% that were female and 47% male. They ended up with 35 focus groups throughout the state of California and 260 participants. Age variation, you can see the category there. It's a nice spread between with the ages of those who actually participated in the study in the focus group. But this is the issue, which the next three slides is the crust of what I want to share. I had observed that even in my other engagement research, and especially the countywide planning project, that my data analysts were very, very important and critical to understanding what the people were saying. And I had three that were on a data team before with our countywide project. But for this one, we actually have six individuals that are on the data analysis team. But their discipline and their perspective really colored, truly colored, how they understood what people were saying. And what seemed obvious was not obvious to some other people. And so with this particular project, I have a community advocate. This is a person that works in a community-based organization that's really interested and wanted to be involved. A client family member whose sister was an active client, but because the sister was going through crisis, she has not been able to actively participate. But I acknowledge the fact that we had client family members' problem, and that's a part of the issue. When they're in their active disease, they may not be able to participate. How is that understood related to the total picture? Then a social scientist who's actually at the University of Davis and is a 35-year caretaker of a family member with mental issues and is in the mental health system. Then a trained African-centered psychologist and a sociologist, and both at different universities, and both having different perspectives, but they were both trained by the Black Psychology Association. They had the same training, but because one's a psychologist and the other sociologist, they saw things differently. Then I had public health researchers, and they also were viewed differently. For an advocate, client family member, it was the lived experience, the practical perspective, and guided by behavior. For the social scientist, it was individual and related to relationships in and to the society. And of course, the person continued to go through different disciplines as to how they would draw information for the interpretation. And public health, the emphasis was on the science and the practice of promoting and protecting that of the community. And the African-centered psychology perspective, the worldview dominated related to spiritualness, interconnectedness, collectiveness, and self-knowledge. And this information, I actually talked with Dr. Parham, Dr. Nobles, and Dr. Nobles is on our work group, to get a better perspective from them, and it's also from their website. But this was to help us to understand how then is culture interpreted, how then is meaning interpreted to people who have different ancestry. So then when you look at the African-centered dimensions and how value is identified, the values are in the middle. When you look at self, feeling, survival, language, time, universe, death, and then worth. For the African-centered worldview, it was related to being the spirit, the way in which people express themselves, collectiveness, oral interpretation and passing on information. The events are always in time as opposed to being on time. And then harmony, transition, and contributions. Then when we identified an African change, behavior change model, it has been published by Nobles, Goddard, and Gilbert, ideas that are manifestations of culture are the substance of behaviors. Behaviors are the results of choices. And then the choices and the chances we take are based on the meaning of the person. And it is determined by cultural grounding. And then one's cultural grounding in humanity is determined by one's ability to live productively or harmoniously in a healthy world. So when you go back and you look at these perspectives and you look at what people then had to say, then that's where it really identified that we cannot have just maybe one or two people analyzing the data. We have to have a cross-section of individuals analyzing the data because we truly will miss something. I asked for our first wave of data of our focus groups, which were about 19 focus groups. Please tell me your emerging themes and those things that you felt were important just from all of the things that you've done. You can see that none of them crossed each other. If I had only, which someone had told me I had too many people on my data analysis team, I needed to narrow that down, just only use two people or one or two people to analyze the data, we will have missed an entire perspective related to what people were trying to say to us. So when we looked at the advocates, they saw in all of that information a lack of positive role models. The emphasis was on behavior and behavior change patterns, family values. But the social scientists saw it differently, saw it related to the individual and the community and crisis that people were in, or intergenerational negative influences. But then when we had the public health individuals, and I have two public health individuals, they were really on, this is accountability issue. Can't you see accountability here, and can't you see credibility, and can you see advocacy, and the person's advocacy, the community's advocacy, et cetera, et cetera. Those were the themes that they had identified. But when you looked at the African-centered psychologists, they talked about the consciousness, competency, connecting, and trauma. But of those emerging themes, I looked at that, none of them crossed each other. You could see where there could be a possibility of connection and interconnectedness, but if I had not had that diversity of the team members, we really would have missed a different view of what we were wanting to see. From that, then, we said, what are some of those practices that people are identifying? They talked about a natural support system. That's what's important for Black people in order to have good mental health and to prevent issues. Family and community activities. Freedoms from microaggression, which was another term for racism and discrimination. And then positive system interaction for participation. That had to do with going and talking and listening to what I'm saying and interacting with me and having a conversation. And the conversation was literally a conversation. Don't ask me a question and want me to give you the answer. Let me express to you what's going on, so it's in that expression that then people could understand what was going on with the person. But if you are not in tune to that, you'll miss that, which one of my colleagues said, they kept talking to me and telling me these stories. They didn't answer the question. I said, well, the person did ask the question. That's why the person was frustrated with you. But she looked at that as, they're just telling these stories. Can they just get to the answers? You have to see the answers in the story in which they're telling you. But, and then cultural compassion, focus on prevention, listening to concerns, and completing an assessment. So just a few examples and I'm finished. In our own voices, listening and assessment, this was an example. The guy had a problem. He went in because he had the problem. But when he was there, he was given a diagnosis and put on medication. Then the person says, I don't think I need to take this medication, but was told, take the medications for so many days and then I'll come back. Went back and says, no, I feel worse and I feel weird. I really just, if somebody could listen to me and talk to me, don't want to hear that, take the medication and come back and let us know how you're feeling. Then the guy says, I left feeling really bad, threw the medicine in the trash, didn't help me with my problem. Then participation, and you can see this one, a 68-year-old black male diagnosed with depression on Skid Row in Los Angeles. And again, about the medical system not equipped to actually engage and participate, because in his idea, once you had been given a mental health diagnosis, you were considered crazy. And so anything that a crazy person says, it wasn't of value anyway. So I'm talking, but I'm talking in the wind. But the person was saying, I clearly understood. I knew what was going on with inside of me. So I really need to be a participant in this process. And then this final one, when there is a mental situation, what helps the most? I think being around people that you trust. And so I appreciate you listening. We have a comprehensive report. We have in the report valued programs, practices, policy recommendations, and resources. We'll be with our poster session, and we'll have more time to talk. Thank you very much.